Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What a gross first half of basketball for both teams. Jason Tatum 0-for, unbelievable, to the point where you thought he was hurt.
I didn't score in the first half. That's unacceptable. I had to play better.
Dale Arnold.
Really what we saw was the Tyler Hero game. I mean, that was a monster game.
The superhero was born last night.
Rich Keefe.
One thing I would have done, though, if I was the Celtics, is not turned it over almost every possession in the fourth quarter.
The damage is done, my friend.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Another down 3-1. You could say goosed, you could say porked, screwed, whatever you want to say.
Dunsky.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So I've pretty much spent all of my time since watching the Bleed Green postgame show on Twitter last night.
Best Celtics postgame show in the business, Dale.
It is must-see TV or yep. Twitter TV, whatever it is. Yep. I go to it immediately after the game because I want to get an early read on,
yes,
on how Rich is feeling about things.
Yeah.
And I've spent all my time between now and then trying to think of, are there words beyond goosed and porked that we can say on the radio that we can add to the list?
Radio-friendly words, I don't think so.
No.
Although somebody
cremated?
What?
Cremated.
Cremated. Yeah, that's a little morbid.
Why don't you rip him when he says dumb things?
I want to entertain
it. We do all the time.
He's got a better track record than you, so I was going to at least entertain it.
My hit rate much better.
Somebody on Twitter said cooked. It's kind of simple,
that's
but I think that applies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're cooked.
Broiled.
Gassed.
Goosed, pork, cooked.
Cooked.
There's another one I came up with right away as I was watching the game last night. There was another one I came up with right off the bat, but I knew we couldn't say that on the radio.
Yeah, save it then,
FCC
maybe.
Would be a little harsh with us on that. It was maybe as ugly a half of basketball as I've seen since, you know, watching my daughter play in the seventh grade back in the day.
It honestly reminded me, and I don't know how many people remember, but when Kemba Walker and UConn played against Butler, actually, and Brad Stevens in the NCAA tournament,
yep,
it was these college teams that all of a sudden played in this huge, like, football stadium, and none of them could shoot. It was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. And that reminded me of it for both teams. You know, it's not like the Celtics were down 20. It kind of felt like that just like as a Celtics fan. But the game was close because neither team, it's like they forgot how to play. They had 3 days off and were like, oh, who's it going to benefit? You know, maybe Gordon Hayward because he gets some rest. Both of them were a mess. And I was like, is it an 11-foot hoop now? Is the ball heavier? Like, nothing seemed to look like actual basketball. And then they kind of snapped out of it for the most part in the second half. But that first half was gross.
I mean, Van Gundy and Jackson mentioned it. You talked about it on the Bleed Green post-game show.
Thank you.
I freely admit, as I watched that first half, I thought, Jason Tatum's hurt.
Had to be.
I mean, maybe one of those pool deck pushing sessions went horribly wrong.
Could've
I
been.
Didn't know what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was obvious watching him, something's wrong. And then you saw him light it up in the third, and you went, nope, he just wasn't that into it in the first half.
Isn't that weird? It felt like most of the team wasn't that into it.
Yes.
And you could understand if maybe Gordon Hayward's head was somewhere else. And I give him credit, by the way, for, you know, staying there, playing with his team, and, you know, he'll go home when this is all over, which seems like probably Friday, Dale.
Could be.
Looks like he'll be back on
Friday
night.
He'll get to see Gordon and Theodore soon.
But even he, I thought, was fine. But my point is, I could see if he was a little bit distracted. But those other guys, it's like you just made it a series the other night. It's 2-1 now. You're the better team. You've led for the majority of this series. You probably should have won the first two games, but you let it slip away. But you're at least in a series. And they come out like that. It was insane. And for Tatum to only take six shots Four of them were threes, missed everything.
Don't be afraid to mix in a make once in a while, right?
They were all, and some of them weren't even close.
I know.
Like, they were ugly. How about Marcus Smart hitting the side of the glass? You're like, what is this? It was just so gross, but he wasn't aggressive at all. And they kept harping on the broadcast, but the way he was kind of moving, he looked hurt. And then, I don't know, did he get an injection at halftime of something?
Well, let's hope David Chow wasn't the guy doing the injecting.
We know it wasn't him. It was some bizarro version of David Chow.
Yeah, because then he didn't end up in the ICU, so it wasn't David Chow.
True. So then he goes 10 of 16 in the second half, including 4 of 7 from 3, got to the free throw line a few times. 28 points and a half is real impressive, but the first half, it's like, where was he? Could have used it, and he got going late. But then they were in the game in the fourth quarter, Dale, and it was kind of the same old story. And this was my biggest concern with the Celtics. How do they react when it's close late in the fourth quarter? They panic.
Not well.
They freak out. They don't know what to do. They turn it over. They get bad shots. They give up easy buckets on the other end. They fall apart. I'm starting to think, and a lot of it's on the players, but I'm starting to think that Brad Stevens is Andy Reid pre-2019.
Ow.
Really good coach.
A lot slimmer.
He's slimmer.
Yeah.
But he still looks like the manager of a Staples. Both of them did.
Until Andy Reid won the Super Bowl, the biggest knock on him was, great coach, but he won't win the big game. He's not going to get you there. And, I mean, that's maybe even more of a slap in the face to Andy Reid, because he actually got to a Super Bowl at one point and lost. Whereas Brad Stevens, if you're the plucky underdog, Brad Stevens going to milk every ounce of every win there he's going to get. But now you're like, well, what is this? Like, you know, a couple years ago, everybody still gives them credit, but the reality is they blew a 3-2 lead and they lost it. Last year was obviously a mess. Kyrie got a lot of the blame, but maybe it shouldn't have all been on Kyrie. And then this year, the path opens up. You should be in the NBA Finals, and now you're down 3-1 and you're getting outcoached for the second straight series.
Now, the Celtics are basically being beaten by a four-man team. I mean, realistically, the Miami Heat are obviously Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, Bam Adebayo. Outside of that, they're very pedestrian. Once in a while, somebody will chip in. You know, all of a sudden, Duncan Robinson will get hot. Last night wasn't that.
No, my God,
it was awful.
Duncan Robinson and Jay Crowder are feast or famine. I mean, they're either going to be, you know, kind of front runners and they're just dropping shots and it's like, all right, look out, or they're useless. And that's what they were. And Duncan Robinson even more so, because he can't play defense. So he was bad. But the three best players in the game, and I know Tatum had a good second half, but if you take the entire game, the three best players were all on the Heat. It's amazing that it was even a three-point game, because Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo were the three best players on the court last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, Goran Dragic was better than he was in game three, but he wasn't great.
He actually had two more points than Adebayo, but yeah, Adebayo was a better player.
But Adebayo was just more of a presence. Yes. You know, he took probably half as many shots as Dragic and scored similar points, was, you know, big on the glass, and he's just a mismatch. You know, they mentioned it in the series last night. I don't know what the numbers have reset to, but going into the game, he was leading the team in points, rebounds, steals, blocks, and was second in assists.
That's all.
So they don't really have much of an answer for Bam Adebayo, but Jimmy Butler scored when he needed to. And I thought it was telling. Didn't he score the first two of the game? And you're like, all right, this is going to be a little bit different. He's not going to just pass off to everybody else. But then they get that shot in the arm when Tyler Hero comes in, and he seemed unstoppable.
You know what it's like in this town. You've been around long enough. I've been around long enough. If a local team loses, it has nothing to do with the opposing team. It's that the local team sucks. It's that the local team screwed up. Blame has to be cast. It's got to be Danny Ainge's fault. It's got to be Brad Stevens' fault. It's got to be Marcus Smart's fault. We're making a huge mistake if we don't give credit where credit is due, because while they didn't come into the playoff bubble considered one of the top teams in the NBA, since they've arrived, they've played, the Miami Heat have played like one of the best teams in the league.
No, they definitely have. I mean, they've lost two games in the entire postseason, an overtime game to the Bucks, and then the other night to the Celtics. That was it. Those are the only losses that they've had. And they have played, they just seem like a group that knows what their roles are. And this was a big issue we had with the Celtics last year, and we talked about it all the time. This year, to a lesser degree, but I think it's creeped up, especially in some of the losses. And then, you know, the post-game fights after game two and everything else. Whereas the Heat, they know the roles on this team. But Dale, would you say 90% of the time the more talented team in the NBA wins the series?
Yes. And I'm not sure. I that's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, you don't. Okay.
I think the Heat may be more talented. Those four guys that we just named are better than your best four guys.
So I disagree. I think they're playing better. Yeah. But
oh, they definitely are.
But Kemba Walker was an all-star this year. Jason Tatum was all NBA. Jaylen Brown, some thought, could have been an all-star. And at the time of the all-star selections, it was kind of a toss-up. You weren't sure what was going on there. And then whether you want to say Gordon Hayward or Marcus Smart is their fourth best player, I think, you know, Dragic is an interesting story. He wasn't even starting all year. And then the next thing you know, he gets in there, and he's had a really good run. But overall, Kemba's a better player than Dragic. Dragic has had a better 5-6 games over the last time here. Jimmy Butler's really good, but again, you can go back and forth between Tatum and Butler. Both of them were actually third-team All-NBA. Tatum got more votes, so he was closer to second team if you want to break it down like that. Tyler Hero has been a huge story here in this postseason, but in the regular season, he was second-team All-Rookie. Kendrick Nunn, on his team, who was pinned to the bench, was first-team All-Rookie. So it just goes to show you what their roles before the pandemic stoppage started. So he's playing really well, and maybe he'll pass by some of these Celtics. But going into the series, I felt confident the Celtics had the four best players. But Kemba has been up and down. Marcus Smart was brutal last night. And obviously Hayward's coming off an injury.
Tyler Hero, better known as Jimmy Neutron.
This little guy. He's
20. He looks 16.
Yep.
He looks like he's going to get balloons that spell out prom to, you know, little Cindy Lou Who or something, he looks like a little kid.
I don't know if it's Cindy Lou Who. I saw him. If you go on his Twitter, he's retweeting a certain Instagram model.
Yeah, well.
Well, Cindy's from Jimmy Neutron, Keith.
Okay.
Get up to date on your Nickelodeon references before you come on the air, please.
I'm not referring to that right now. I'm talking about the Instagram models that he's retweeting and she's retweeting. I don't know if there's a relationship there.
If you're a 20-year-old NBA star who's got the ice in the veins of a stone-cold killer, you have a shot at Instagram models?
I think Tyler does. Tyler Tuesday the other night, so I don't know what that means.
That kid had to go back to his hotel room after that game. Imagine if it weren't a pandemic.
Yeah.
He'd have been tearing up Miami Beach.
Oh, somebody's there. Somebody's in his room. They found the workaround.
Ladder up the window.
They know what they're doing.
You mean the COVID-19 tester?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I think she's already. I feel fairly confident that the only COVID-19 testers left in the bubble for the NBA are 55-year-old guys.
They could be.
That's it.
Guys that look like Andy Reid. There's a chance of that. No, but he was so good, and I have a feeling that, you know, because coming into the league, they knew he could shoot, but the way he handles the ball, my guess is, just like another Kentucky guy, he sort of morphs into Jamal Murray, when he was drafted, you thought he was going to be a shooting guard, and then he kind of is like, you know what, I'll just run the point. And then the ball's in his hands more, because he's fantastic. He can rebound, he can pass, he is an absolute weapon. And how about this for just horrible luck? He was the 13th pick in the draft. Romeo Langford.
Guess who was 14?
Who blows.
All right, so now let's play it out. Let's say the Heat don't take him. Would Danny Ainge have taken him?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I think he would have. I'm pretty sure, actually, I don't even know if there's audio of this or not, but I'm pretty sure Danny was pretty high on Tyler Hero. So I think he actually would have taken him. Now, hindsight's obviously easy, but yeah. I'm pretty sure that he would have. But who knows?
And would Brad have gotten out of him what Eric Spoelstra was getting out of him?
Yeah, I don't know. And what's also interesting is if the season went on the way that it was supposed to schedule-wise, where, you know, there's no break in March and the playoffs start in April or May or whatever, is Hero even as good? Like, I don't know. I feel like for some of these guys...
COVID-19 hadn't felled his teammate, who, you know, was on the all-rookie team and Tyler Hero wasn't, would he even be playing?
Well, I mean, he played, but it was...
But not like, as much.
No, not to this level. And that's why a lot of the young guys... And actually, we saw it in both degrees. Actually, we even saw it, you know, in the hockey bubble when we're talking about Chara. But it was like, this was another season. So I know it's a continuation of this one. But in reality, like for these guys' bodies, and especially if they were working out and putting the time in, Tyler Hero is really like a second-year player now. And it's
right.
Like he's made that jump. And like, you know, a guy like Jamal Murray, he's now a fourth-year player now. It's like you can see the jump for some of these guys. And I just wonder if they were playing in May, like does he look this good? Or is he as much of a weapon? Maybe, but who knows?
Do the Celtics have any ounce of heart left to push this to another game? I mean, they'll play Friday night. Are they on a plane late Friday night flying back to Boston? Or do they try to get one more game out of it after that?
No, they're probably done.
Goosed, porked, cooked.
I would imagine that they are all of those
filleted
things. Because especially when you have a team fight after game two, right? You're screaming at each other, right? Everybody's all upset. You're throwing stuff. And then you win game three. Now you lose game four. What do you fight again? What do you do? Or you already got the fight out of the way, right? Like, where do you go from here?
As was pointed out on Twitter last night on the award-winning Bleed Green postgame show.
It's a lot in that 1 minute, I'll tell you.
If Marcus Smart was going to throw a chair last night, he would have missed.
He would have, for sure, man. He was so bad last night. He couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. And then in the fourth quarter, I think, like, out of the seven turnovers they had in the fourth quarter, either three or four of them were by him. And think about that.
I like the one where he bounced the one off Gordon Hayward's leg.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, just a thought here.
They
turned
the ball over almost as many times in the fourth quarter, seven, as the Heat did in the game, eight.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really a recipe for success.
That probably makes victory a little harder to achieve, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of stuff we're going to get to throughout the course of the day today. Andy Hart's not with us, as he normally is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's off today. Chris Mannix is going to join us, superb NBA writer for Sports Illustrated and SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on what we saw last night and what it means for the Celtics going forward. Peter King will join us at 11:30 from Football Morning in America and NBC Sports. But we got a lot of calls to get to with you guys as well. And Keefe's Fantasy Brief coming up at 12:45 today as well. Trying to help you out. I mean, he gives and he gives and
That's
he never
it.
Asks anything in return.
No, I don't.
Well, sometimes Shime gives and gives too, so we'll see if he chips in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he
will. He will.
He'll give you some advice as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Chris Mannix coming up at 10:45. Your call's coming up next, but first we trend.
Now back. Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keefe.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
Hero's shot making tonight was, you know, in addition to the things we just talked about that were our own issues, was the difference in the game. Jimmy was great late. Adebayo was his typical self. And Dragic made some big plays, but Hero was ridiculously good tonight. That ball, the rim must have looked like the ocean to him.
Well, he certainly could throw the ball in the ocean from the dock, unlike Marcus Smart, who probably would not be able to hit the ocean from the dock last night. But
No. Pretty good time for a career high for Tyler Hero, by the way.
He looks legit, 37, though. 6-3 if you're keeping score at home.
I mean, it just seems like on offense, I mean, he was locked in, and so, I mean, you can't expect that every night, but it seems like on offense he can do everything. And he's big enough. I mean, he's going to fill out a little bit more, but he's tall enough.
He still looks,
I mean,
like a little kid.
Looks like a little guy, but he's 20, and, I mean, the future's bright. And I hate giving Pat Riley credit, but think about in the years after the LeBron bail, like how he has gotten that roster to where it is right now.
Yep.
You know, Bam Adebayo was a late lottery pick. Tyler Hero was a late lottery pick. He trades for Goran Dragic. You know, he's able to get Jimmy Butler in there, finds Duncan Robinson out of nowhere. Like, he's done a really good, like, that's a nice roster.
And of course, as always, here, it's because the Celtics screwed up. It's never because the other guys are good. You know, the Bruins lose in the Stanley Cup playoffs because they suck.
Well, do you not
Tampa Bay is really good.
Do you not agree with that? No, the Tampa Bay Lightning are a lot better than the Miami
Heat.
But I
also think the Heat are better than we gave them credit for.
All right, but
and they are going to be a worthy NBA finalist, assuming that what happens that we all think is going to happen, they will be.
I hope so. I hope they can hang with the Lakers. Do you think, though, that the Celtics' effort to start the game and then them turning the ball over in the fourth quarter, how much of that was the Heat and how much of that was the Celtics?
No, a lot of that was the Celtics.
Okay,
but
that's what I think.
But see, again, that's earlier today I was listening to Wiggy and Greg and you know, the morning show, and it was, you know, Danny Ainge has got to be fired. Wiggy wants Ainge fired. You know, Brad Stevens got to be fired. I don't think Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge had anything to do with the way Jason Tatum played in the first half of that game. We know he's a better player than that. I mean, we thought he was hurt, for God's sakes.
Well, but don't you think that so Danny Ainge, no, I don't think Danny Ainge has anything to do with last night's performance.
Right.
But I think if the team's not ready to play, like, at some level, that's got to be on the coach.
I almost always blame the players in that situation. It's, you know, there's only so much a coach can do, especially when you've had 4 days off between games. If Jason Tatum came out last night uninspired and unprepared, that's on Jason Tatum. I mean, that is not on Brad Stevens. That is on Jason Tatum four square.
I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, how much you think coaching matters in the NBA. Like, I think in the NFL it matters clearly the most.
A lot. A lot.
And then
more.
Baseball probably the least. And then it's probably a toss-up between hockey and basketball. But, yeah, they weren't ready. But they were still in the game. Like, it was just, like, neither team could make a shot for the most part. But then I just think in the fourth quarter, there is definitely something to be said about the players, but that's another time where you think the coach would have some sort of impact, is how do you not settle the group down? How do you not have sort of a game plan when the game is close late? Because every time that's happened, it seems like they just fall apart.
But then I looked at the turnovers and the shot choices that were made late in that game, and I'm thinking, okay, what's Brad Stevens supposed to... Hey, Marcus, don't dribble that off Gordon Hayward's leg, okay? I mean, at some point... And I mean,
does he get any credit if it goes? If the coach is going to get any credit at all if things go well, they have to get blamed when they don't.
The only time I give the coach credit, quote unquote, when things go well is, you know, some great inbounds play off the timeout, that gut breaking shot with 0.5 seconds left in the Toronto series and the way it was drawn up. I mean, for the most part, as you said, I mean, the only thing he gets credit for or blamed for is his substitution patterns. Because once they're out there, they're kind of on their own, aren't they?
Well, no. I mean, game three against the Raptors, that was his fault, I think. They lost that. That was his game plan. That's what he wanted to run. That was his defensive scheme. That was on him. You know, like, the players have to execute it, but if you're putting them in a bad spot, I don't love their chances.
I think
he's been outcoached in back-to-back series, and they were fortunate to you know... That's the thing with the NBA. Sometimes the players, it doesn't matter. Like, if the players are that good, then you can overcome bad coaching. And I think Nick Nurse was the better coach last series, but, you know, the Celtics 1-7. And then so far in this series, I think Spoelstra's been better.
Do you want to hear wise words from Marcus Smart?
So this is actually pretty amazing. So yesterday pregame, Marcus Smart was talking to Rachel Nichols, and they were doing this thing where they're interviewing.
I like where they've got to go back. Go out and shoot some while we talk, okay?
It's,
I mean,
so dumb.
It's so forced.
It's so bad. And so they're talking to him, and then like to go out there. But it was really just, it was a Rachel Nichols love fest to Marcus Smart, who seems to be, now you got to remember this is pregame, but it seems like he might have been taking a victory lap for why they won game three.
Not every day or every moment is going to be where everybody on that team agrees with you, likes you. And that's okay, because sometimes things need to be done and said, and it's going to take somebody to do it. And that's me. I'm not afraid to do it, even just to get my teammates going, get this team going, if that's what it takes.
Thank God, Marcus. Thank God you were able to throw a chair after game two and so you could win game three. And then you come out and lay an absolute turd burger in game four. 3 of 12 shooting, 1 of 8 from three, 4 turnovers, 3 of them in the fourth quarter. Horrible. And anytime you were guarding Tyler Hero, I don't know if you did you do anything. He wasn't the only guy on him all game. They put a bunch of different guys on him. They're also running
nobody
some zone.
Succeeded.
I thought Marcus was a defensive specialist.
Yeah, he was all NBA defense first team, and he was awful. He was awful. So maybe he'll throw a chair. Maybe he'll punch a picture frame again. I don't know what he'll do. And I feel
now,
bad doing
it. I'll say in his defense, and you don't want to hear this.
This will be good.
All I'll say is he's right in this regard. There are times when things have to be said in a locker room or a dressing room that are not necessarily popular with teammates, and some guys are comfortable doing that, some guys aren't. He apparently doesn't have a problem. Now, it does not take anything away from how bad he was in the game which followed that, but what he's basically saying is he's okay with saying the unpopular thing. I mean, Kevin Garnett was like that. He would say stuff to guys in the locker room that some guys didn't like hearing, but he'd say it.
Yeah, but Kevin Garnett wouldn't follow it up with a horrible game.
Well, I don't think he was great every night, but yeah, he was consistently better.
He was pretty close to great every night, and I also don't think, would he take full credit? It sounds like he's taking credit. He's like, I had to say the stuff.
Somebody had to.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, well, you're still down 2-1. You should have won the first two games. You didn't, and then you win game three, but the game was never, it never got tight. It was never an opportunity where like, uh-oh, like what are we going to do on this key possession? That never happened in game three.
When you were reading the score during trending, and I have it written here in front of me, I knew what the score was. It didn't feel that close, did it? Because it just felt like in the fourth, every time they had a chance to do something.
Oh, I just have zero confidence.
They boot it away. Yeah. They kick it away. They take a. They shoot up a brick.
Yeah.
I mean, I never felt like, okay, here we go. They never had a run in them, especially in the fourth quarter where you went, all right, now they've got the Heat back on their heels. They never did.
No, the game. Yeah, the game was certainly like the scoreboard was close, and it was just you knew that the Celtics were going to panic when it got even like. When I got close enough and they had the ball, they were either going to turn it over or Marcus Smart was going to launch a ill-advised shot or whatever it was going to be. But, yeah, they fell apart, and I don't know how anybody would expect them not to in the next game.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Phil is up in Maine. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, so these guys are done, and the reason why I say that is because ultimately I think they felt when they were down 2-0, they had two big leads, lost both of them. They didn't know what the hell to do. You guys have already said it. These guys don't have any idea what the hell to do to close out a game. Or if they're behind, they really don't have an idea of who should have the ball, who should be taking the shots, the leader, this, that, and the other. You got Brad Stevens, who Spoelstra's made him look like Coach Klein from The Waterboy. I mean, he just sits there. And Spoelstra's made numerous in-game moves and changed the game plan, adjusted, and Stevens has not done one thing. And honestly, guys, I think that this group of players, they can go to the finals. Like, they're talented enough. I just don't think that Stevens necessarily, he's been there 7 years, 8 years, whatever. He is a veteran coach, but I don't think he's the veteran coach caliber that these guys need to actually show these guys what they are fully, capable of. So I just don't see Brad Stevens achieving, a finals run or even a championship with this group.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, it's you look at a couple of teams like the Golden State Warriors. Now, obviously, that'd be super high praise, and I'm not saying Tatum and Brown are Curry and Thompson, but they made a coaching change, and they thought, hey, Mark Jackson's fine. We won some games with Mark Jackson, but he's not going to be the answer. And then they bring in Steve Kerr, and what happens? You win the finals year one with Kerr. So, yeah, I mean, that's not the craziest thing in the world. Like, I would always push back on the, let's see. Brad gets a lot out of these guys, but I don't know. I think it's at least on the table now.
Let's talk to Chris Mannix of SI.com when we return in just a couple of minutes. 11:30, Peter King from NBC Sports and Football Morning in America will join us. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Sports Illustrated NBA reporter Chris Mannix. Chris is brought to you by Star Market. And the brand new Star Market at the Hub on Causeway, just outside the TD Garden. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Just another day in paradise if you're a Celtics fan today. Rich and I were just having this discussion. I want to get your take on it. I think it's fair to say most of us underestimated how good the Miami Heat have been since they entered the bubble in Orlando. How much blame do the Celtics get? How much credit do the Heat get for where they stand right now?
I mean, the team that beats you always gets the lion's share of the credit. And Miami, after really not playing much zone defense in the first two rounds, has zoned Boston to death in this series and thrown a wrinkle at them that they have in three of the four games really failed to respond to. And, last night's game, to me, was in a lot of ways a carbon copy of the first two games where they got three-point happy, perimeter shooting happy, and didn't take advantages and weren't patient enough to attack that Miami zone. I mean, in game three, they had 60 points in the paint. In game four, they had 38 points in the paint. That's the difference in a game like this. In game three, Marcus Smart attempted 2 3-pointers. In game four, he took 8 and only made one of them. I mean, it's not, I mean, look, everything's more complicated than we make it seem, but there are obvious fixes here the Celtics can make that are proven to be effective against this Miami team.
Who's the more talented team?
I would lean towards Boston because, Tyler Hero had a breakout game, but he's still a rookie learning his way, whereas, Jaylen Brown Kemba Walker, even Marcus Smart are more accomplished players opposite Jason Tatum. I would say Boston's more talented, but I thought coming into the series that coaching would be a big factor. And right now, Eric Spoelstra has the coaching edge because his defensive strategies have worked, you know, extremely well against Boston.
Rich gave the coaching edge in the previous series to Nick Nurse as well. Do you agree?
It's kind of a toss up to me. Part of the previous series I thought was as much on Kemba Walker as it wasn't anybody else. I mean, Kemba, who had never been that deep in the playoffs before, still hasn't, obviously, really didn't understand that sort of janky defense that Nick Nurse threw at him, that box and one and all that stuff, especially the last two games of that series. That screwed him up. Now, maybe you can say it's on the coaching staff in Boston to fix that, but Kemba's a 10-year veteran now, whatever he is, multi-time all-star. I mean, he's got to adapt on his own and adjust to that type of defensive scheme. So I thought it was more of a coin flip in that last series. But again, you're dealing with, the coach of the year in Nick Nurse. It's no shame to get edged out by him.
If Marcus Smart doesn't hit five threes in a fourth quarter against the Raptors, they probably don't win that game. However, you referenced the number of shots that he takes in some of these games, and is that one of the main problems, when they struggle? Because we've made the comparison, and a lot of people have, that, maybe Smart can be the Celtics' Draymond Green, like a shorter Draymond Green surrounded by stars. But Draymond Green doesn't take 15 shots. Draymond Green doesn't take 18 shots. Like, how big of an issue is that?
I mean, I think it's a significant issue, personally. And Draymond Green, like Marcus, I mean, the coaching staff in Golden State kind of cringes when Draymond pulls up from three. Like he still does it a lot, not as much as he used to. I don't think that's the numbers say that, but he's been an erratic 3-point shooter for most of his career. Teams have been leaving Smart open. They've been choosing to, direct their defenses at Kemba, Jalen, and Jason. That's given Smart opportunities. I thought in game three, he was more patient with them. He was more of a facilitator. He had some assists and even some of those hockey assists that never get talked about that much. He was moving the ball and not sort of being goaded into launching from 3-point range. I mean, sometimes it pays off. I mean, the first round when the second round when he had the 5 threes,
yeah.
And just that he won that game. Like that was a great performance. But in general, my philosophy would be that, Marcus limits his 3-point shooting to when he's completely wide open on spots on the floor he shoots high percentage from. If not, keep moving the ball, keep attacking the basket, and keep attacking that zone. You can't emphasize that enough. Like, a zone defense is beatable. Like, there's a reason teams don't play it as often as Miami does. You've just got to be patient and attack it in certain spots.
Sometimes fans forget that even great players are ultimately human beings to begin with. Jason Tatum was a third-team All-NBA. He was an All-Star. We know how good he is. So it's somewhat inexplicable to see him come out in the first half last night and give you nothing. So much so that we wondered if he was even hurt, and then in the third quarter you went, no, I guess he isn't hurt. He just stunk in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was hurt. I'd never heard anything about that in the last couple of weeks. I think Jeff Van Gundy kind of, got everybody, really focused on that during the first half of the game. But, he was doing what all the Celtics players were doing, which was settling for jump shots. What was he, 0 for 6 from 3-point range or whatever it was, 0 for 4 in that first half. And that's not where Jason Tatum is at his best. He's at his best when he's attacking, using that length, getting to the free throw line, scoring at the rim. And for whatever reason, he and the rest of the team got away from it. I mean, look at it. I mean, look at just the first 6 minutes of the first quarter of game three and the first 6 minutes of game four. Game three, you're like, wow, they're really doing the right thing. They're moving the ball around. Jaylen Brown had talked about how he was going to get back to his old self and attack the basket. They did that. And then game four, they're like, oh, screw it. We did that for one game. Let's go back to what we kind of like doing better. It was a little bit mind-blowing to watch them get away from everything that made them successful in game three and do it completely differently in game four.
Last year, the pieces just didn't fit together at all with Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris and Al Horford. And so they've moved on from a lot of those guys, but a lot of them are still here. And I think for much of the year, we thought, oh, this is a completely different story. These guys kind of have their roles and they get along. But then after losses, it starts to creep up again. Is it still an issue on this team? Or what kind of ceiling do you think this group has, whether it's a comeback this year or even, you know, going forward?
No, I think this group this year and beyond has a championship ceiling. I do believe that, especially in today's NBA where, at least for now, we don't have that de facto super team out there. You know, all this, of course, came up after game two, but last year's team genuinely disliked each other, like genuinely wanted nothing to do with each other. You know, it's that old Red Sox saying, 25 guys, 25 caps. Like, mm-hmm. They didn't want anything to do with each other. This year's team likes each other. I mean, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I wrote about the two of them early in the bubble. Like, they're never going to be best friends. Like, they're just two different guys, mostly because Jaylen is a very different kind of guy. But they've got a really strong relationship that's deep-rooted, and they enjoy playing with each other. Same thing with Marcus Smart. Likes being part of this group, likes being with the Celtics. Kemba, you know, loves the experience of not having to be the end-all, be-all for the team that he's on. I mean, what happened after Game 2 was more of a manifestation of two close losses that ended poorly, and being in the bubble, you know, being in that environment where it can cause tensions to rise up to levels they wouldn't ordinarily rise to. But I don't have any questions whatsoever that this team can not only come back and win the series, but is the right mix of players to win a championship.
To hear you tell it, it sounds so simple. We saw the recipe in Game 3, attack the zone, go to the basket, points in the paint. Then we saw them in Game 4 saying, nah, I'm not interested in that. Or are they going to be able to get back to the Game 3 game plan for Friday night?
I mean, they have to. Like, I don't know if there's – I don't know what the alternative is. I mean, you can certainly argue that as poorly as they played, I mean, they had a chance on that last possession, even with a couple seconds left, to tie it. I mean, if not for Tyler Hero's just incredible game, they probably win that one. A few missed buckets by Hero, and they're winning. So they have to go into this Game 5 thinking they can still win the series. I mean, their losses have been by a combined 11 points. I think Zach Lowe just tweeted it. Like, the actual score itself is 441 to 441. Like, they're not outmatched in this series. They've been in every game that they've lost. They've just got to recognize, you know, there's a certain way to play against the Miami team. They're going to play zone for like 75% of the game. And when they do, have a plan to go to the rim. Like, what they want you to do is shoot those kind of foul line extended 3-point shots, force you into areas of the floor where you shoot low percentages and force you into those 3-point shots. Don't do it. Like, don't get goaded into it. Be patient and keep going to the rim. I have to imagine that's Brad Stevens or part of his message over the next 24 hours. Like, we know what works. Let's keep after it. Let's take it one game at a time and let's win this series.
Chris, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. That is Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, senior reporter for Sports Illustrated. He makes it sound so simple, Rich.
I mean, I think it does go back to the talent on this team. And I think the majority of stretches, if you add up the four games, even though they're down 3-1, probably the edge would go to the Celtics. You know, the first two games overall, right? If you just took every minute and said they were all equal, and you obviously didn't emphasize the late fourth quarter, you would say the Celtics may have outplayed them, and that's why they were so frustrated that they were down 2-0. Because it's not like they got smacked and you're like, ah, oh, this is a better team and we're screwed. Like, they probably should have won those games and they didn't. And then the one kind of lopsided game, or at least the game that wasn't super close, was the game that they won. You know, it's kind of similar to the Raptors. They would either blow out the Raptors or the Raptors would win the close ones. It kind of felt like for a while. But I just don't see it. I think the Heat are one of these teams that they're doing everything right now. They're having different guys step up when they need to. Spoelstra is hitting all the right buttons. And the chances of them winning three out of the next four games, or I'm sorry, the next three games?
Yeah.
No, I don't see that happening.
We'll turn our attention to the Patriots and Cam Newton. No less an authority than a gridiron genius suggests that Cam Newton's going to get extended.
Oh, good.
You'll know who that is in just a couple of minutes. Peter King, who might be a gridiron genius, too. He just doesn't call himself that. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.